Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. If for whatever reason you feel compelled to weigh in on the circus or whatever you want to call it, the totally uninteresting event known as the January 6th hearing. So feel free to do so. So that's your opportunity if you so choose to utilize it. Still to come on the program, former State Senator Dick Brubaker for Breitbart News, my colleague AWR Hawkins, and we'll wrap it all up with Sean Walsh, Katie Britt Campaign, and SR Communications. Joining us now, however, very pleased to bring on my next guest. You got to want to check this out. From the Federalist, Eddie Scarry. I got a new book out, Liberal Misery. Eddie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, congratulations on the book. Thanks for coming on. Let's kick it off here. This probably is something that's true, but we don't think about it. But the title of the book itself, the left in this country really does kind of ruin America in a lot of ways on an emotional level. But we kind of knew that, and we just maybe gloss over it sometimes.
Right, and it's not even just on a policy level. My book is talking about the policy implications of the modern day miserable liberal. But the real inspiration behind this book, sad as it is to say, was everyday social interactions, oftentimes even with strangers who are ideologically liberal, Democrat, on the left. They can absolutely ruin your day if they feel like you disagree with them on anything. and I just had noticed that going back to probably, I would say, around 2015, but when 2020 rolled around, then it was really on steroids. You had every liberal hectoring about masks and social distancing. Then you compound it with the George Floyd rioting. This is how they express themselves now. You're seeing it with the reaction to the Supreme Court case overturning Roe v. Wade. The now it's the threats and the demands that they take to the streets, and they get in the faces of the Supreme Court justices who made this possible. But I just noticed that this is just getting worse. The way they behave in everyday social interactions, again, even with strangers, making you uncomfortable at a dinner party. All because they believe that there is something wrong with you if you do disagree. There is something inherently morally wrong with you. It can't just be agree to disagree. It is you are evil. And that is the misery of the modern day liberal, and they like to see it spread. It's not enough that they feel it themselves. And this was the other aspect of this, was when I started really getting to think about this, I wondered, are they really just are Democrats and liberals and those who are aligned with the left, are they really just, you know, is it right now? Is it just like a political thing? They're still upset about Trump. No, this is actually they're in my book, the very first chapter. If you get the book for no other reason, it's for the first chapter. And that was when I started researching this, I found scores of data, studies, surveys where people who identify as liberal are just unhappy in basically every facet of life, even with their marriages. They're more likely than independents and conservatives and Republicans to say that they're unhappy with their marriages or less happy with their marriages, their jobs, where they live. They're more likely to say that they don't want their children marrying or in a relationship with a Republican or a conservative. They're more likely to block someone on social media because they said something they disagree with, and on and on. And I was really surprised to see just how every single aspect of their lives, they are just less happy people.
You know, maybe this is like an ideology draws people like that. We all know, we all have people in our lives that are never going to, they're always chasing happiness, or it's always someone else's fault, I suppose. I think I totally get what you say, but I guess for me it was, I thought, well, finally, 2008, Barack Obama gets elected. They were happy for about a month after Obama was sworn in as president. But it always kind of goes back to what it was before, right? This unhappiness, the system is rigged, that there's this idea that the whole American concept of self-reliance and making your own way, they don't believe in that. The system's rigged against you, and it's not fair, and we need more equality. And they just start compartmentalizing all of this, and then they get to a miserable place. And now it's kind of jumped the shark, though. Like, we got to, you know, the idea of equality is equality of misery. You got to be as unhappy as we are. And people on the right, just, they're not naturally inclined for that kind of mindset.
Right. Politics on the right is not something that is all consuming, something that conservatives or even independents are thinking about day in and day out, every moment of the waking hour. For liberals, it's the exact opposite. It is all they think about. And so long as things are not going their way, they're going to be unhappy. And again, it isn't a matter of just them living, stewing privately in their homes. They now act out in public. And I think, like you said, I would say I have the same impression after Obama was elected and reelected. I think there was this belief on the left and among Democrats that this country was theirs now. There was a permanent change, and there was no going back to anything that resembled what it was before, before Obama got into office. And then when things went completely the other way, shocked by the election of Donald Trump. So not just any other Republican. We're talking about Donald Trump and realizing, no, this is not how things are going to work. There is a whole other side of this country that gets to have a voice. I think that has blew the lid off of any attempt they were making at suppressing their anger, their spite, their pettiness, their vindictiveness. Because, you know, you look at when Biden was elected and got to have a fully Democrat Congress, what has happened in that time? There was no window of happiness. They were angry, and it never stopped. Even though Biden was the one who came into office saying, I'm going to lower the temperature in the room. We need calm. I'm going to restore the soul of the country. There has not been a moment since his election that anyone has been calm. The media might be in a slightly better mood. But everyone else, I think it was AOC who right after the election was saying, we want revenge. we're looking to settle some scores now. And just look at the January 6th hearing. This is about something that happened now at this point. What are we looking at? We're going on like 2 years of this, and they're still talking about it. They're still looking to prosecute people for it, criminally prosecute over politics for the most part. And that's just one more example and one more sign that the misery of the left, miserable liberals, are not going anywhere.
This is like a chicken egg problem, though, because you have to feed the monster, you have to feed the beast, right? And what you got to feed it with is this resentment, this anger, this victim mentality, this victim culture. And if you don't feed that beast, Democrats don't get elected. Liberal policies are less likely to become enacted. And you can win all the elections, but you still gotta trigger that emotional element in your voter, in your base, to keep them engaged. And here we are. There's plenty out there to be triggered by. Don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously the economy, inflation, the border, you know, but they're all kind of engineered by the American left, and this is what the result is. But it seems like they're trying to contrive something additionally with the January 6th stuff, and it's not having the emotional impact that I think a lot of people on the left want. Some are playing along. Some are pretending that it's the end of democracy. But no one, a normal, rational human being cannot make that connection like they think that they should.
Right, and I think that yes, there is the cynical play by Democratic leaders to keep this January 6th stuff going with and, you know, the constant white supremacy, white nationalist, completely made up. I talk about that in my book too. Absolutely. The numbers on that are just do not pan out to this idea that there's a white supremacist in every corner of the country lurking, and about to completely overthrow our democracy. It's just not there, even though they swear that it is. But I will say that, that does not really answer for why liberals, why self-identified liberals really are, in the smallest ways, you get that just down to their actual livelihoods, are just unhappy people. I looked at multiple studies, all of which were, it's oftentimes just asking people, are you liberal? Yes, I'm a liberal. Okay, well, how would you say, how happy are you with where you live? Liberals are, in that aspect, are more likely to say they're unhappy, or they're less happy. How happy are you with your marriage? Less happy than independents and conservatives and Republicans. There are even questions that I think it was, I don't know if it was Chapel Hill or if it was Duke, where they asked, if you voted for Trump, would you be okay rooming or studying with someone who voted for Clinton? Well, the overwhelming, it's like 60% or something of Trump voters who are students said they would be totally fine. With studying or rooming, completing a project with someone who voted for Clinton. It was the exact opposite for Clinton voters. If they voted for Clinton, they wanted nothing to do with a Trump voter. The same thing happens on university campuses with professors. They would ask a Clinton voter who's a professor, would you be okay sitting at lunch with a colleague who voted for Trump? They want nothing to do with that. However, it's the opposite. When you ask a professor, there actually are a few out there who voted for Trump, you ask them, would you be willing to sit at lunch with someone who voted for Clinton? Like, again, like 60 to 70% are, yeah, I have no problem with it. So just the intolerance on the left, the spite, the anger that they feel, that's what it just led me over and over again. It's just the fact that liberals tend to be less happy and they are miserable people.
Well, and it's this, though. I think if you're liberal, you're more inclined to make that your identity, right? Like, everybody has their, you know, for some people it's their sports team, or it's, you know, some kind of music or whatever. But for liberals, it's you know, it's this church or it's your family or whatever. But there seems to be more on the left, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen on the right, but it's more likely, it seems it's more prone to happen on the left, that that's your identity. I mean, that is you. Your rainbow flag, button, or resist hashtag or whatever. It is more a part of your being if you're on the left. Now, look, you and I do this for a living. It's kind of our identity, but you don't live and die on it, right? At some point, you get desensitized to it, even because you just do it so much. But for these guys, they're intellectually invested, they're emotionally invested, and when you do that, when you make that your being, you set yourself up for disappointment because the nature of politics is kind of a pendulum that swings back and forth.
Right, and that's the point I'm making at the very start of the book, is that there's an election every 2 years. It's okay to smile between them if things don't go your way. There's another one coming around. Just cheer up. Maybe you'll win the next one. But I would say ever since 2016, they do not see it that way. They don't see it as, okay, we'll get the next one, or okay, we made some gains here, let's keep going. But you know, this is the political opposition. This is just how American politics goes. No, they see this as a moral issue. You are inherently evil if you disagree with the left. I have not seen a change since 2016. And you're right that it's all consuming. That's another point of the book. And there is a study on that kind of just demonstrating, I hate to put it this way, but it's probably the best way to put it, that liberals and Democrats and the left, just because it's all consuming, it means that they just care more. They are way more emotionally and intellectually invested in seeing their vision pan out. And one of the ways that the study kind of demonstrated that was that at any income level you are, you could be a janitor, you could be a CEO. If you are a self-identified liberal or Democrat, you will tend to give money to your causes, the causes that you, whether it's nonprofits or campaigns, the causes that you believe in. people on the right, independents, are far less likely to give money to their causes, even though they truly believe certain things. They're just less likely to do it. So that's just one example of how you can see the all-consuming nature, regardless of whether you're rich or poor on the left. The cause is your identity.
Wasn't this, though, the emotional immaturity of, I don't know, that whatever the degenerate, the Zers or whatever, the younger demographic, right, the millennials, et cetera. I mean, maybe someday they become conservative, but what it looks like to me, and this is kind of me spitballing a theory here, but like the left has dominated so much of pop culture, the political circles inside the Beltway. But you look at all the marketing in Madison Avenue, and you look at Hollywood right now, and that's kind of dictating the tempo of the left, it seems. And you wonder, like, well, why is that? And maybe for Wall Street or whatever, it's, well, this is the demographic. This is the demographic we're shooting for is that age. And this is why you're seeing all this corporate wokeism, and it is touchy feely. It's supposed to make us feel good. And it went from feeling good to more like a punitive kind of a phenomenon. And to me, I mean, just the whole, the way the left has gone from the sunshine and happiness and, you know, with a few provocative bumper stickers to this militance, that just seems to be where it's headed. And that, I think, I don't know what the logical conclusion is, but that to me is kind of what you're hitting at here. And this is a byproduct of it, perhaps.
Yes, I think it is. This is a byproduct of the misery that the left is spreading. The virtue signaling that you see from corporations, and even some, you know, our own military oftentimes does it. But that is because you have so many on the left. There are nonprofits and groups that are dedicated to shaking down these corporations. Oh, you didn't put out a statement for Black Lives Matter. Oh, you didn't say something for Gay Pride Month. Oh, you didn't say something about the trans people. We're going to boycott you now. Or we're going to put you on blast on social media. We're going to start a social media campaign against you. The right doesn't do that. The right does not check and see if you acknowledged Mother's Day or Father's Day, and if you didn't, we're going to be angry with you. That's something the left does. So when you see all this virtue signaling and how it has been turned up so much within the last, you know, just the last few years, I would say this isn't something we saw so much pre-2016. It is because they know that who they do not want to tick off. They don't want to tick off liberals. And I think on a more I would say extreme, but it's become the norm now, is for, like, you look at the 2020 election, what happened? You saw all the cities that had to board up their windows in D.C. All of D.C. downtown was boarded up. They didn't do that because Joe Biden might win, and therefore the Trump supporters were going to do something crazy. I mean, obviously there was January 6th, but they weren't anticipating that. That all the boarding up of all the big cities and anticipation of the election was because they thought that if Trump won,
right,
the left was going to do something crazy. And because that's how it is just now taken for granted, that this is how they are going to act when things don't get their way. They'll riot, they'll threaten,
right,
right, political violence. It is now just the standard of the left.
Hey, we got to wrap. The book is Liberal Misery, How the Hateful Left Sucks the Joy Out of Everything and Everyone. Eddie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.